This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Traditional Japanese prints with contemporary depictions of modern disasters. The opening reception will coincide with the first Friday gallery walk on April 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. For more stories, podcasts, and videos, visit our website, nowdecatur.com.
How many people went down with that bridge in Baltimore?
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
We may be looking for upwards of 7 individuals. That's the latest information we have.
But Fire Chief James Wallace says there were some construction workers on the Key Bridge and vehicles at the time a cargo ship hit it, so the numbers could change. It all sent the whole span of the bridge crumbling into the frigid water 50 feet deep.
We have a large area that we have to search.
The 2024 St. Teresa High School Mega Raffle is going on now. The fundraiser helps St. Teresa offer a faith-based education.
Two people were rescued. One's okay. The other hospitalized in serious condition. So what caused this giant ship to hit the bridge? State Transportation Secretary Paul Wiedefeld says it's not terrorism.
We don't see anything that relates to that at this time. It's an open investigation. But there's nothing that points to that in any direction.
An American journalist jailed in Russia for almost a year, Evan Gershkovich, will stay behind bars accused of being a spy.
He denies the charges and the U.S. considers him wrongfully detained. Gershkovich has had his pretrial detention extended until June 30th. This means he'll likely remain in Moscow's Lefortovo prison, notorious for harsh conditions.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The Supreme Court takes up another abortion case in an hour, hearing a challenge to the FDA's approval of mifepristone, a drug used to end pregnancies. Well, former President Trump keeps trying to put together a lowered $175 million bond to appeal a civil fraud ruling in New York he calls fake and ridiculous. His media company that runs the Truth Social app goes public on Wall Street in a half hour with a DJT symbol, replacing the digital world stock that was already trading.
The stock finished up 35% yesterday. It's getting close to 8% or so in pre-market trading. Now, Trump's going to own 58% of the new entity. So with the current share price that it closed at yesterday, that stake is valued at over $3.5 billion.
That's Fox Business Network's Kelly O'Grady. America's listening to Fox News.
Progressive presents 10 things on a plumber's to-do list that are harder than getting a small business insurance quote. Waking up for 5 a.m. plumbing disasters, finding out why water is pouring from the ceiling while telling a customer to leave the room, replacing a pipe in a home from the 1800s, then dealing with invoices or your awkward apprentice or that really weird smell, and then there's breathing and eating and, of course, clogs. But the easiest thing on any small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you could save on the business insurance that's right for you. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers.
Attorney Joe Cordell. Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Springfield area attorneys. 2815 Old Jacksonville Road, Suite 103, Springfield, Illinois, 62704.
Israel is today walking away from the latest talks in Qatar, trying to work out a ceasefire in its war against Hamas. It is also angry at the U.S. for not stopping what happened at the United Nations.
Monday, 14 of 15 U.N. Security Council countries voted for a resolution that called for a temporary ceasefire and the release of the Israeli hostages. The U.S. abstained, but Israel's prime minister wanted a veto, so he canceled plans to send a delegation to the White House to discuss future military plans in Gaza. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
This one didn't condemn Hamas, which is why we couldn't support it. But we didn't veto it because, in general, unlike previous resolutions, this one did fairly capture what has been our consistent policy,
which is linking a hostage deal with a temporary ceasefire. He said the U.S. still has Israel's back and will continue to talk to Israel about its future military plans. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Now, despite all that, Israel's defense minister is still expected to meet today with U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. No official comment yet from Sean Diddy Combs, the rapper and music producer and actor who appears to be under a lot of scrutiny.
Federal agents raiding homes linked to Sean Diddy Combs in Los Angeles and Miami. Here in L.A., May, heavily armed agents raided Combs' mansion and were seen escorting several people from the property before investigators moved in. While in Miami, some agents arrived at Combs' waterfront property there by boat. We are told by our sources that this is a sex trafficking investigation.
That's Fox's Jonathan Hunt. Several lawsuits have been filed against Combs in recent months alleging sexual misconduct. His lawyers have called the allegations complete lies. On Wall Street, stock futures are rising the day after selling, and we all failed again to hit the jackpot last night. So the Powerball prize grows to about $865 million. The fortune on the line tonight's even bigger. Mega Millions worth $1.1 billion, the eighth largest U.S. lottery jackpot of all time. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
The 2024 St. Teresa High School Mega Raffle is going on now. The fundraiser helps St. Teresa offer a faith-based education to students in our area. Tickets are now on sale, and you can have a chance to win $100,000. Take advantage of special bundles by purchasing multiple tickets, increasing your odds of winning. Early bird drawing is April 12th, and final drawing is May 24th. Buy your tickets today for a chance to win $100,000 by calling 875-7950 or online at sttmega.com.
When you have car trouble and need a tow, trust Shaner's Towing. Shaner's of Decatur is your best choice for business towing solutions in Central Illinois. Roadside assistance, farming, towing and recovery, auto repairs and tires and more. If you're looking for a fast and reliable partner for all auto and heavy duty needs, just visit shanerstowing.com. Trust Shaner's and save their number, 875-2200. That's 875-2200. When accidents happen, when you need a repair, trust Shaner's Towing.
Here's a look at your News Channel 20 storm team forecast today. Showers and possible thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and windy with a high of 52. Tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy, low around 31. For Wednesday, sunny with a high of 48, and Thursday, sunny with a high of 58. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 51 degrees. Your WSOY time is 8:06. This look at your weather, it's brought to you by Shaner's Towing. Fast, reliable, 24-hour towing in the Decatur area. Call Shaner, 217-875-2200.
Good morning and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Byers & Company. Natalie is in from the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation, and we have another guest, one of the speakers for That's What She Said, coming up in just a few weeks. Company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Coming up here in a little bit, we're going to talk about dynamic pricing entering just about every market. And we've talked about this with fast food, right? But it's spreading. And this Uber model is going to be creeping into your life even more and more. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Right now on Tuesdays, every week we check in with the Community Foundation. And I know you go, well, that's like 52 check-ins a year, but there's like 52 things to talk about and more every single Tuesday. It's something new. We're either giving away money, which is what they do for a living, or promoting great events. How far off are we to the event? That's what
April
she said.
April 6th, so we are. Almost a week and a half.
Yeah. All right. How nervous, excited? I mean, whenever you do something for the first time, right? I mean, these events have been around for a while, but this is the first time here. What's your mood?
I'm pretty stressed, to be honest. It's a lift for us. You know, we have Rachel's out on maternity leave. So
the
for
event
Misty,
business,
Chastity and I and Jennifer, it's, yeah.
The event business is not an easy one.
And it's our first time. I think I'm really looking forward to next year. Like, I'll have a lot better feel for the flow and,
well,
and
look,
everything.
You got 425 people coming so far.
Yes. I think we're over that now from when I sent you that yesterday. I think the floor is pretty much sold out now. That's what Lavelle told me yesterday. So. I think they're actually surprised too at the number of tickets sold. And I think he said typically this week will be when we sell them even more tickets.
That's
so,
generally the way.
Yeah, he said the walk-ups and everything. So
all right, well,
we're excited.
So, you know, at least going in, you got a big crowd.
We have a huge crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge crowd. And we have a great show.
Major relief right off the bat.
Yes, I would be much more stressed if we had only had 100 tickets.
Yeah, so I'm trying to walk you off the ledge here. This is good. Because not only that, but your speakers, you know, who have all been so incredible, the ones we have met so far, it's all very unique and all, you know, their own story, which is kind of the point of the whole thing. But that's going to feed that so much more. You know, there's nothing worse than getting up on a stage in front of like empty seats and, you know, so, you know,
they know it's full.
It's full. So yeah,
it's full.
That's good. and you know, it's not going to get any less. It's going to get more.
Yes.
And that's fantastic. So, you know, the acoustics with a good sized crowd and that stage is such an amazing thing. You can sit and have a conversation with somebody in the balcony, you know, without microphones. I mean, there's just nothing like it in this community, the way it was built all those years ago. It feels intimate, whether there's 500 people there or not. So ticket sales, fantastic. Rehearsals. How many, when it's all said and done, do you think you'll have gone through?
Oh, a lot. I mean, we have five this and then between now and the show, so including one last night. So yeah, there's a lot. They started in September, just started brainstorming their ideas, and then now we're into full rehearsals, and we have a rehearsal the Monday, and then Friday, and then Saturday, and then the show. So,
all right. Well, we're going to introduce you to yet another one of the speakers. How many overall in total?
Ten. And this is our seventh one to have in here at the studio.
I wasn't sure. I knew we would have most.
Yeah, so the others we'll have after the show to kind of give their opinion how it went.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we'll get them all in here.
All right. Katie Warnick, good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Are you a teacher?
I am. I teach family and consumer sciences at Meridian High School.
Okay.
And on my free time, I guess, my husband and I have a small farm where we raise microgreens and pigs and chickens, and I do baked goods and things like that.
Wow, I feel like it's like a television show I'm in right now. Like this would be on like something.
She's amazing, yes.
So let's go to the teacher part first.
Okay.
And is that what you always wanted to do? How did you end up in the field? Was there a plan? Or I mean, sometimes things happen by accident. Sometimes there's a very detailed plan.
Sure, yeah. I always wanted to be a teacher. I just didn't know what or what age. Until I was in high school, and my U.S. history teacher said, you know, you'd be a really good U.S. history teacher. And so I went to Millikan and taught U.S. history for about five or 6 years.
Okay. Man, we need you now. Jeez Louise, have we forgotten a whole lot?
Yes, those who don't know their history. That's true.
All right, but that's for another day. So you spent some time as a college instructor then, right?
Yes.
And then you're back now with high school. What's the major difference between those two age groups?
High school and college?
Yeah.
You know, there is not a huge
difference.
So the
dynamics kind of the same?
Pretty much the same, more parental contact at the high school level, but in terms of kids being kids,
yeah,
pretty much the same.
All right. What is family and consumer science?
We would call that home ec a while ago.
Okay, now you're speaking my 1982 language, but home ec is so much different than it was in 1982.
So most of the classes that I teach are culinary. So I have a foods 1 and 2, food science, foods 3, 4.
All right.
And I do have a clothing class this semester, but sometimes I teach adult living or child development too.
That's amazing. And I would love to come watch one of those classes because I just can't imagine it's anything even like what I would have a memory of.
It's a good time.
Yeah, I bet. Because we had the choice, right? You take shop or home ec.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't know, all the girls are over here, and I'm not really crazy about power tools, so easy choice.
Yeah.
But I didn't learn to sew. That seemed to be kind of what it was all based on. This seems much more lifestyle oriented.
I do have a lot more boys than you might think.
That's great. All right, so you blog.
I do. Yes, that's kind of been put on the shelf a little bit lately, but I have a blog, yeah.
Okay, and if I were to go listen to this or read this, what would it be? About your farm, about your...
It is, yeah. It's lifestyle type things that my husband and I do. A lot of recipes, things that you can do around the house, gardening, things like that.
Okay. This has never been more popular. I mean, there's entire networks devoted to this, right? People can't seem to get enough.
That's true. It's something that we've done since we've been married. And so for us, it's not a new type of endeavor.
So you were doing it before it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You were like Joanna Gaines before Joanna Gaines.
And she has a monthly sale of her goods at their home, and I go out to that. So she sells spreads and cookies, and she makes the most amazing soaps and does that all herself and designs them, and they're so scented. And
all right, so I mean, it's how did that happen?
The soap?
Yeah, I mean, I just one day you woke up and said, I'm going to make soap.
Well, so
is it hard to do?
No.
Okay.
It's dangerous because you deal with lye, but, you know, if you glove up and wear your safety glasses and all of that,
okay,
you're fine. So that started, I don't know, 2021, 2022, something like that. I was watching somebody on YouTube and I thought, well, heck, I can try that.
Uh-huh.
Because she would decorate them with piping bags and things like you would decorate a cake. And so I thought,
that's what she does. They're
let's
beautiful.
Let's try that.
So yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'll grab Lindsay one next month when
okay.
I'm there.
Yeah, well, I find this stuff, I mean, you know, as an artisan, right? I mean, it's all art to me, and what people do with it is fascinating because their own personality, their own, you know, stuff comes through that. And yeah, you may have been inspired by, you know, watching a YouTube video, but yours is very different than what they were doing. And it's amazing to me that people that have that, I think all too often people just quit learning. You know, it's like you get through school and you go, well, I've learned everything. You can learn every day in life, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I definitely feel like I'm a lifelong learner. I really try to learn new things every day.
Yeah. It's
Which
a blessing.
Which is why you said yes to that. That's what she said.
All right. So go back to that original conversation. So how did that happen? A phone call? What?
I emailed her.
Okay. Yeah. It was an email out of the blue.
And what did you, when you initially read the email, what was your honest to God thought about?
I thought, oh no, who is this person? How did they find me? What is it that they're asking? And yes, it was totally unexpected.
But I found her through here,
yeah,
through Newhoff. She was your March 23 teacher of the month for Y103.
Okay.
And that is how I became aware of Katie.
All right. Well, see, it's a small town, you know. It all comes down to is not a lot of, it's not far to get to someone. We don't need the whole 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game. We can do it in about two. So what made you say yes?
I have tried to get outside of my comfort zone lately as I've aged. And so I thought, well, an opportunity has presented itself, so might as well take advantage of it and see where it leads. So
okay,
here I am.
So tell me about the journey so far.
It has been phenomenal. It's hard to narrow down what you want to talk about because we all have different aspects of ourselves.
Right.
But it's been a fantastic experience to meet people who I never would have met otherwise. You know, being in a classroom's kind of by yourself. And so I've gotten a network with people that are fantastic individuals.
Yeah, but you're in a classroom now. You're just a student, right? In some ways.
Yes, yes.
And it's weird, you know, some of our guests have been like, oh my God, how do I fill 7 minutes? And some have been like, oh, how do I narrow down to 7 minutes and everything in between? Because 7 minutes is just that's just a concept when you say that. I mean, people really don't realize how long or how short that is. So what's the, you know, taking, I guess, not criticism, but critiquing and, you know, working with a coach, you know, you're the one in front of the class, you know, most of your life. Has that been tough?
You know, I've gone to school pretty much my whole life. My husband gives me a hard time because I will take a few years off and then I'll go back and, you know, do something else. So I like it. I like having somebody say, you know, maybe you should think about this, or word it this way. And so I found that pretty helpful.
Yeah. That's hard for most people to do though. I mean, you know, to have just, you know, even good critique that can help your performance.
The ladies have been very receptive. The room is very vulnerable and very honest. And I think you want to hear it in that setting. And that's what they're rehearsing, right? It just, the impact, the endings, the, what are they stumbling on? How can we help each other? You know, so I think it's been very positive.
Well, that's because you're women and you're so much better at this than men are. I mean, I don't think there's not even a question about that. So are you, you know, 500 people, you know, in with the lights on, hard to see their faces. You get reactions out of kids in a classroom, right? You know, it's so opposite of like doing what we're doing right now. You know, the audience is there and you don't see them. Does that excite you? Does that frighten you? You know, what is,
you know, I'm, I'm not as nervous as I thought that I might be. I mean, ask me in a week. We'll see. But I'm kind of excited about it. I haven't been in the Lincoln Square Theater for about 25 years. And
so, been a while.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
So you guys will all be out there kind of supporting each other as it goes on, too. That's an interesting part of this.
They stay together. On stage. There's a huge dynamic that's built into that and the support. And that's what, since, you know, being together and collaborating and rehearsing since September, they are a family on that stage.
Yeah, that's exactly. I don't think I understood that at the beginning, but now as we've talked to everyone and the stories that have had connection, meaning they've all had this same experience, even if coming from different ways, has really come through. As far as the practice side of this and rehearsal and getting ready, I'm super stoked to see it in action because we've got bits and pieces along the way here. I want to see the full performance. Now, that night, it'll be a little different, though. There's a haunted spot on that stage. You guys have, navigated that?
They're going to show us that Friday at our rehearsal.
I don't believe it, but it's good sales, right?
Yes,
supposedly, if you sit on that spot of the stage, like on the stage and, you know, there's like people have had weird experiences. Don't know.
I don't care to be that person.
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But it is one of those venues that is incredible.
It is incredible. And, you know, I really applaud it's volunteer led. And so we've been giving them some leeway there and trying to work with their team and lift them and bring in a whole new audience. I think, you know, if we get to 500, 550 women and men and families, a lot of them have not been in the Lincoln lately.
Well, you'd be blown away by the acoustics.
Yeah,
that's
so
just
I
the
think
thing.
That's really going to help them as well.
Now, have you rehearsed in the theater yet?
Not yet.
Okay, so that's coming up then.
That's next Friday.
All right, so now big difference, right? You've gone from a small space now to a big space. And that will be even more interesting. So overall, I know you're nervous because you're doing this for the first time, and you got the biggest thing out of the way. This is a last-minute ticket-buying town. I mean, so you've overcome that, which is usually everybody's big stress, right? They do something, they raise money, they bring something nice, and people wait to the last minute to buy tickets.
I think that beyond the ticket thing, it's just creating a platform for women, and that it's the culmination of this launching, our Giving Circle launching, our name change. We kind of just did it all at the same time, and so
it's a lot.
That maybe in retrospect wasn't the right plan for me personally and mentally, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm anxious to get it rolling and to have the women up on stage and to know how supported they are, and then to give away the grants at the start of the second half. That's when we'll be awarding the She Gave grants. So
okay, and then walk us through that process again, because how were those numbers?
So that is Dr. Morris chairs the Giving Circle, and the group of 120 women selected recipients for $25,000 in grants, and they'll be announced that night and awarded the money on stage during right at the start of the second act.
Okay, so it's even though it will probably not feel planned, you know, it will feel very organic, I'm assuming, in the presentation, there is a structure to all of this. And then once people see it, and I think future speakers, like these folks are very brave because
they're
going out there where no one's been before here, right? And so there's a model then for it, which makes your job much easier next year.
And Jeanette that you will meet will share. I mean, she developed the model.
She's the producer,
she's
right?
She's the producer, the creator of the series. She's got it in 8 cities, I think, right now. And launching a youth program, a youth version of it.
She had one
last weekend in Champaign. So, yes, it's her vision. It's her baby. And we're really along for the ride and bringing it here. Next year, we'll also have 8 women from Macon County and 2 from Piatt County as we bring in the counties we're serving. And so, yes, it'll change a little bit, but we're just off to a great start.
All right. Tickets are on sale. You can get those at LincolnSquareTheater.com. They're $32 plus an additional add-on fee of a few bucks that goes to the theater to help with their expenses and continuing renovation. And get tickets. I know this will be a female-heavy audience, but everyone's welcome.
Everyone's welcome.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, I feel like for men not to go is kind of missing the point a little bit.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's what we do.
Disparities, yes.
All right. So you just got back from Vegas?
I did, Nick, and that's some disparity.
All right. So we got both tournaments going on right now.
You do, but
the men's
you never
and women's
know it.
NCAA tournament.
Yes.
And you go to the sports book at
we were at Caesars, at the Bellagio, at Treasure Island, everywhere.
And
I would say I sat there and could see 50 TVs and none were of the women's games. And my friend who was very upset about that even went to ask multiple times, can you change the channels? Can you put one women's game on? And they said no.
They told her to go watch it in her room.
And you cannot bet on them.
I don't understand that at all.
Well, it's true.
I watched every minute of the Iowa-West Virginia game last night and a lot of it over the weekend. I'm just thoroughly impressed.
I mean, we wanted to watch the games. Yeah. And they were showing reruns of Peyton Manning's NFL, some game Matt could tell you. And we're like, can you just put one women's game on that little TV?
Clearly got work to do. All right. So the event is countdown time, right?
It is countdown time.
Now, next week, we get the producer in with us.
And Carla.
So, like, ahead of the show, we kind of get some really insight into this person who founded all this and started this. She has to be amazing to work with all these different personalities and stories. And you have some people.
And juggling all these shows. So, Chip's show last week. And then the ones coming up, like Peoria, Champaign, St. Louis, Indianapolis. I mean, she's all over the place, and we schedule. So we're, like I said, next Tuesday, we'll announce our date for 25 here on the show. And so she's already planning the book for 25.
Okay. Now, do we know, like, the order or anything yet? I mean, this is more of a behind-the-scenes question, but.
I saw it last night, but the cast is not yet.
Does that cause you any concern?
They will find that out next Monday at our rehearsal.
A little bit, maybe.
Okay.
I'm a planner, so I would like to know soon.
Okay.
Well, I think we know who is the end of the first act and the end of the whole show.
Okay. Now, that's a secret, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all a secret.
This process fascinates me. It really does.
But it's beautiful to watch it. And Jeanette is weaving, right? So you've got this emotion, the highs and the lows and the comedy and the it's very interesting to watch her and then to hear their stories. And yes, that makes so much sense that she follows her, that she kicks it off. So it's beautiful.
But you're a list maker, right?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's driving you nuts.
I would just like
to know. Am I sixth? Am I fourth? Well, good luck to you. I can't wait to hear your story from the stage. And thank you for taking some time to be with us this morning. I hope people will get out. Well, clearly there are 425 plus tickets sold already. LincolnSquareTheater.com would be your web address to go buy those tickets. Support the strong women in this community. There's so many of them. We are so blessed to have so many in leadership and blazing trails and doing things that maybe they could teach Las Vegas a trick or two, I guess. It just blows me away. All right, Natalie, we'll see you next week.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right. We'll take a break. Here's Nick with your 3-day forecast. Back with more right after this.
Today's showers are likely and happening right now with possible thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and windy, high near 52. For tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy, low of 31. For Wednesday, sunny with a high of 48. And Thursday, sunny with a high of 58. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 50 degrees. Your WSOY time is 8:27.
Southside Country Club's golf course is 100, and 2024 is a time to celebrate Southside style and at a fraction of the cost for the first year. The $100 special is back for a limited time, a $100 initiation fee, and $100 membership dues a month for the rest of 2024. Southside Country Club has been a community gem for 120 years. The People's Club, well known for its beautiful golf course open year-round, but also the spot for many. From family fun at the pool to a quality night out at the restaurant, bar, or one of the club's dozens of annual events. It's your best time ever to join Southside. With new parties added to the calendar and new tournaments added to the golf schedule, that's a 100-year celebration, $100 initiation fee, and $100 a month for the rest of 2024. It's time to join the family. For more information, call 217-423-7789 or stop by and see us or visit SouthsideCountryClub.com. Special does include a 2-year contract and an annual food and beverage minimum equivalent to $150 a month. The year of celebrating 100 at Southside Country Club, where nobody does it like us.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 1868, we have built upon a tradition of close relationships and broad financial capabilities. Our experienced team provides the highest level of personalized service to ensure we accomplish your goals, simplifying your wealth management and business lending needs, and ensuring a legacy for generations. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Jesse Kelly. Are you still on the fence about owning gold? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. The Oxford Gold Group are the pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. The State Health Department has authorized schools to maintain undesignated asthma inhalers for emergency use, facilitating access to critical medication for asthma attacks. Trained personnel in schools can now administer quick-relief meds like albuterol via a metered dose inhaler to students in serious respiratory distress, regardless of their medical history. This IDPH standing order remains in effect until next February, subject to annual review and updates. Spring enrollment at Illinois community colleges increased for the second straight year. Opening spring 2024, enrollment increased by 5.1% over last spring, according to the Illinois Community College Board. This is the third largest enrollment increase in nearly 15 years. For more on those and other stories, as well as podcasts and videos, stop by our website anytime. You can find us on the internet at nowdecatur.com.
News. I'm Chris Foster. It's been more than 8 hours now since vehicles and workers are believed to have fallen into a Baltimore river from the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge hit by a container ship. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott.
Everyone, this is an unthinkable tragedy. We have to first and foremost pray for all of those who are impacted.
There are reports of perhaps 7 people missing and 2 rescued, 1 in serious condition. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange avoids extradition from the United Kingdom to the United States to face espionage charges for now.
2 judges say they'll allow him to appeal if the U.S. can't assure them of his safety and right to freedom of expression. Lawyers for the United States government have been given until a hearing in May to make their case.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Assange is accused of illegally obtaining then publishing confidential military records supplied by former Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning in 2010 and 2011. America's listening to Fox News.
With Ricky Horton, I'm John Rooney, and yesterday in Mesa, Arizona, the Cardinals were down 3-1, and a home run by Wilson Contreras tied it. A 3-run seventh inning gave the Cardinals the runs they need, but good relief pitching, good defense, a good day all the way around for the Cardinals, who won 6-3 over the Cubs.
Really was a team win for the Cardinals. Michael Ciani made a great play in left center field. Mason Wynn made an acrobatic catch. Cardinals' bullpen was strong, and it was really fun to watch the young players perform as well as they did late in the game. A lot of hits. Swanson was able to finish out the game in the ninth inning, and it was just fun to see young guys contribute.
And it was R.J. Yeager who got his third hit in as many at-bats over the last 2 days to make it a 6-3 ball game. And Bushberger got a hit. The young guys played well.
They really did. But most importantly, the Cardinals' bullpen is rounding into shape as we head to L.A. soon.
And our next broadcast will come your way on Thursday from Dodger Stadium. Miles Michaelis against Tyler Glasnow. The Cardinals and Cubs play today, but we'll come your way opening day. The Cardinals Hall of Fame and Museum is the official home of Cardinals history. For those who want to be a part of one of the sport's greatest collections in the world, museum membership is the way to go. Cardinals Museum membership provides unlimited admission for 1 year, exclusive Hall of Fame bobbleheads, discounts, ticket offers, and more, in addition to supporting exhibit design and artifact restoration. There are a variety of membership levels, including our ultimate level of membership. For more info and to join, go to cardinals.com/membership.
You're listening to Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a, well, the rain is whipping around downtown Decatur, as my watch warned me. It was about ready to start a few minutes ago. And it's begun.
I saw it thrashing up against the window for a minute going sideways.
Yeah, nothing on this window. It's all on the west side. Yep. North side windows are all clear as a bell.
That's right.
Strange thing when you're 6 floors up. Doesn't seem like a big, you know, like city tall building, but it does affect the dynamic in a weird way.
Sure does.
Like we don't get spiders on one side.
That's funny.
It's just wind pattern, I guess, or like webs or whatever.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right. Good morning. Happy to be here with you. Happy to have you here with us as we are ready to go. Read a great story yesterday in Axios about, it was called Shards of Glass, Inside Media's 12 Splintering Realities. And it was looking at, the shards of glass phenomenon, you know, where we had TV, cable, radio, newspapers, and then how all of that has scattered into chunks across the landscape, right?
Sure.
Over the last 20 years, really. But it almost feels like now we're in dog years or something, like 1 year equals what 10 years equaled 20 years ago.
Sure.
And so, where you get your news, the voices you trust, the topics, cultural figures you follow, could be wholly different than the person sitting next to you, where we had more of a shared experience before. Goods and bad, you know, I think, in this story. But it's worth a read. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but if you, you know, from Instagrammers to TikTok to New Age grandmas to right-wing grandpas to the MAGA movement to the liberal warriors to power consumers, the financiers, you know, where they're getting their information. It's a really interesting look at the dynamic that exists today in consumption. One of the best things I've read in quite a while. I mean, there's nothing earth-shatteringly, you know, like new here or something that isn't probably obvious to you if you just take a look around, but I've not seen it put together so comprehensively in one place before.
Nice. Sounds like a good read.
Yeah. And then also Gallup came out with their latest poll, and I have a question about this. Church attendance has declined in most U.S. religious groups. That in and of itself isn't a surprising thing. We've been hearing this for a while, right?
Yep.
And you wonder, 3 in 10 Americans say they attend religious services every week. That's 21%, or almost every week, 9%, while 11% report attending about once a month. 56% say seldom, 25% or 13% never attend. Those numbers have, if you look at the last 50 years, steadily declined.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Among major U.S. religion groups, according to Gallup, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also widely known as the Mormon Church, are the most observant. It's impacted them less than most other areas of church attendance.
Sure. Makes sense.
Why?
Culturally. Because it's not just it is baked into lifestyle.
I would say to you, it was baked into a lot of lifestyles for a very long time. I mean, I don't know that there was anything different about Protestants or Mormons or Catholics about it not being baked into the lifestyle.
I mean, entire communities are Mormon. I mean, to essentially not be practicing anymore would involve moving away and things like that, which are just day-to-day life. It's just part of it. A little more baked in, a little more on campus than other religions that are more opt-in or opt-out without any consequence.
They're higher than Muslims. And I would suggest that everything you just said about the Church of Latter-day Saints could be said about Islam.
Probably the same. Yeah.
I mean, it is not a or Catholics even, I think. But it's strange. If you just look at it grouped, it would be Mormons and then Protestants, which would also include non-denominational Christians, ranked second with 44% attending regular services, followed by Muslims at 38% and Catholics at 33%. So I'm not making any assumptions about any of this other than it's interesting to see the overall story is even less than half of Mormons and less than half of Protestants and less than 40% of Muslims and less than 35% of Catholics actually attend service regularly.
Did this story, did this study ask how many people identified as religious, or did I see another headline at the same time? Just overall, and whether not even
Americans with no religious affiliation, including those who say they are atheist or agnostic, are very unlikely to attend church. This was about church attendance. So
yeah, I just saw one at the same time.
Yeah.
I wondered if it was from the same study.
But 3% of that group actually attend service regularly, which I don't get, but there you have it. But the bigger picture is, you know, you can make a bragging list of we're doing it better than you're doing it. You've all lost 50% of your audience in the last 25 years. Or yeah. At least your audience
engagement.
In person.
Yeah, your engagement.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, as they are tax deductible, you know, they don't have to do the same thing like a business would. That if the business lost 60% of their customer base, they would probably go out of business. Because they couldn't afford to pay the taxes and everything else. So, you know, how much of this is even survival by playing by different rules?
Probably, certainly there are buildings or institutions that are surviving off of that. I mean, that's without a question.
And I'm not knocking that. No. I'm just saying I think you've got to factor mm-hmm. that into survival.
Right.
It costs less to run a church than it does to run a business. Now, some of these mega churches, you know, are probably doing as well as they've ever done. And is that kind of like Walmart and mom and pop hardware shop? You know, is it eating up a lot of these folks? And then I can attend online, or I can, you know, did COVID change that for a lot of people, you know, forever? It's just an interesting look. What's strange to me about this, and I feel this way just in general, this isn't specific to anyone or any faith, but the message seems to have been over the last number of years, and I mean not 25 years, I mean 4 or 5 years, of less tolerance, of less ability to accept people as who they are, as less inclusive in its behavior. And that is an interesting strategy for me when your numbers are already down 50-60%, that you're going to make it even harder to be there.
And I think those two things, to some degree, and I don't know how much of an impact, but I think they're hand in hand. I think that a lot of times when you look at a crowd, of any crowd at all, you have your hardcore people that are there that would be there regardless. And then you have people that are there on a whim or just because or trying it out or whatever. And then you have some people that are curious. And when you make it inclusive, a lot of those people become sticky and they come and, yeah, I like this. I'll come next week.
Yeah.
When you make it less inclusive, you start to squeeze those people out and that are less entrenched.
Not even less inclusive, just mean-spirited.
That's what I mean. And whatever it is.
Right.
Whatever.
And it's not just like the MAGA Christian right stuff, because it is literally in Judaism. It is in Buddhism. It is in Hinduism. It is in Islam. You know, this is.
Let me say it a different way. When you narrow the scope of the thing that you're doing, and your message speaks specifically to some people, and other people go, I don't know if you're talking to me anymore. Maybe this is too mean. Maybe this doesn't vibe with me, or I don't fit here. And I'm not even talking about demographics or whatever. That's when people go, all right, I'll do this on my own, or I'll try somewhere else, or I won't do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just the scope seems to have tightened in many of these different places.
And just because – and here's the thing that I always had I have a hard time articulating it because I know exactly how I feel, but people take it the wrong way. Because you choose not to go to a church, a physical structure on Sunday, and sit around people who won't wear masks or do whatever, doesn't mean you've lost faith in a belief. It's just we're doing everything in a different way. And is the model of a Sunday congregation just not the thing anymore for a lot of people? This is literally regularly attends. This isn't what people believe.
Right. Yeah, you're not talking about faith.
But they used to teach to you that if you don't attend.
Just points off.
Yes.
Yep.
And that just doesn't seem realistic today. Not that there's a lot that seems realistic to me in a lot of these areas. But it does seem categorically, no matter what the faith, it's down almost the same. Like, you know, you're bragging that you're at 38 versus 34. There's not a world of difference between the two.
Right. Right.
It's interesting. I think that there are people that are clinging desperately to institutions. And I think you could insert government, religion, whatever. I mean, it's not just here. And then there are a lot of people that aren't afraid of change and think things can be better, and maybe the old way of doing it isn't the right way. And those two worlds seem to be colliding in a very intensive way and rapidly.
Yeah, absolutely. And some for the better, some of these institutions have figured out what it is they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they've pivoted and they've adjusted and offered services or tailored their message to a new way of communication, and they're thriving because they met the needs of the people.
And I think like a church, like an attendance, like if I were running a church, which by the way, they'd never put me in charge of, I'll be very clear about that. But the socialization aspect of going to see people in person on a Sunday morning is not the way people live their lives now when they do this through TikTok and through, I mean, you have access to so much.
Yeah.
And so many ways of being around people socially.
That's right.
Without ever leaving your house. This is the same argument, I think. Like when you watch what's happening, and there's a fascinating story about how a guy who wrote a book about hot dog money, which was the phrase they used about handing this money out to athletes, and he thinks the entire world of college athletics is going to collapse as we know it, and rapidly, right?
Looks that way.
Not going to go away. It's just going to be a whole different thing than it is today. And then the NCAA held on to that with a death grip and absolutely refused to adapt or to embrace or to roll with change. And I don't see churches as being that different than that, even though the writing has been on the wall for a long time. I just thought it was fascinating how across the board it was.
Yeah, which speaks to, you know, maybe some suffer worse than others, but by and large, it's just people's relationship with their God or their
group.
Yeah, their
this
group.
This isn't even about their relationship with their God. It's about relationship with their group of people that have that relationship with
And the reason I brought up your relationship with your God is some are going, well, I don't need all of you for me to talk directly to them.
Or I don't need all of you to judge me.
Or take my money or whatever. So there's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
But some really doing it well, but many are hemorrhaging.
Yeah. Hinduism, way down.
Wow.
7% doing it every week. 6% almost every week. 36% about once a month. The once a month column seems to be where, it's like me in baseball. I'd much rather watch it on TV, but every once in a while, I want to go to a game just to get the feel and the smells and the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm happy being back on the TV for a while.
That's right. Yeah, I could see that.
But I do think that there is absolutely, and particularly with younger people and what things, when things used to be generational, meaning you passed this down from generation to generation, you know, families would often go to the same church, you know, the grandfather and grandkids and great grandkids.
For generations.
And you don't get that anymore. And young people are not having this hate stuff. They're just not. And you can call them whatever you want. It doesn't change any of the reality of the behavior. And it doesn't mean they're not faithful or spiritual. It's just they don't need the guy with the bad hair on the stage, you know, taking money to tell them how to be nice to people. I don't see anything changing, though.
Yeah. Now,
there have been some younger churches, you know, that attract younger people, and you can put coffee shops and all that stuff in, and okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the message?
That's right. If the messaging's good and it's truthful and believable and the ask isn't so high, people will hang in there.
And I've always thought that the hook for faith was literally the do unto others part. We've gotten a long way away from that, at least the stuff that makes all the headlines and the people that have brought the politics into it and the people that, you know, I don't hear the do unto others much anymore. It's us versus them. And when you make people choose a side, well, the Gallup numbers speaks for themselves.
Not surprising, though. Nothing. Maybe the rate of it, but certainly been in decline for a while.
Yes. Yeah. But that's what happens. People have a hard time seeing the decline. I watched The Big Short again this weekend.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, it's on.
It's Christian Bale.
Oh my God.
Michael Berry.
It's on Paramount now. So, I think because it arrived and, you know, new release, you know, new stuff. And that was the only reason I saw it. And how, I mean, we'll just use the banking industry in place of faith and religion. This was coming for so long, right?
Oh, for sure.
And no one wanted to look at it, wanted to, you know, and then boom.
Yep.
And we don't really learn from our mistakes as people too much. Certainly we don't institutionally learn. You can insert NCAA, banking, you know, faith. But the writing has been on the wall for a long time. And it's almost like some people are determined to even make it happen faster. Not that that's what they want, because they think doubling down or tripling down or quadrupling down on the anger and the hate is what's going to save them. And I would just suggest to you, you're just going to wake up surrounded by those people, and that's all you have. And that is not an inclusive way to grow. So for what it's worth, and there will be people going, well, what do you know about it? Fair point. I'm just doing the math. And I think sometimes it's easier to get to the bottom of something if you're not tied to the emotional aspect of irrational thought around something, because you can't just look at it logically.
Right. And you can look at individual cases and go, well, our flock is where it's supposed to be, where
no
it's
doubt.
Been or whatever,
no
case by case. Yeah, absolutely. But it's just indicative of people want a different delivery mechanism of the message and the interaction.
I think they want a different message.
Maybe that too.
I think it's not all about delivery, although that's a big part of it. I'm not poo-pooing that at all.
I mean, you're right.
But it's also, what is the message?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get to me, stick with do unto others. I don't need the fire and brimstone stuff. I really don't even need the you're going to hell stuff. Okay. Some days that looks more interesting to me. But when you attack things that are in my life or my family, or you attack things, I mean, then why would I want to sit with all of you on a Sunday? That's not fellowship. That's judgment. And if you want young people, and I'm certainly not young, but I can also do the math there, they're not going anywhere near that. So where does the growth come from? I think it's a temperament question. Along with a lot of other things. And delivery, we know that. Content is king. But delivery is queen. She wears the pants. That's the phrase in advertising, marketing, right?
Yep.
Can you believe Vegas wasn't showing a single women's NCAA game?
I couldn't until you guys buried the lead that you couldn't gamble on it. So, yeah, I absolutely can't believe
Why
it.
Why can't you gamble on it?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Maybe the bookmakers don't pay enough attention to it yet.
Well, what you would think that greed is generally the opposite of what we just talked about. Like, they're usually ahead of everything.
Yeah.
They're usually on every single change curve.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're trying to figure out another way to take your money, right? Mm-hmm. They're way ahead institutionally than most are.
Yeah.
But it's still very much an old school thing. And I think in that world of sports, and that's crazy to say because you'd think they'd be the first to embrace it. I told you Monday morning, I'm driving in, listening to our sports station. They get the hockey scores, right, you know, in the news, and don't mention a single NCAA women's game from the weekend.
Yeah.
You think that's just institutional?
Some.
Okay.
Interest isn't there yet. It's growing for sure.
But wouldn't you think that would be the first place it would grow?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd think so. And I bet you that it's funny. We're betting. I bet that you could find a way to bet on women's sports.
I'm saying, though, as popular as it is, sitting out there in that bubble, and Las Vegas in some ways still that bubble.
Yeah.
You know, I've been watching that History of Las Vegas on CNN, the documentary.
Yep.
You know, in some ways that old school stuff is still in there, baked in, even though they create the sphere. I mean, there's a mentality out there that is like, you know, housewives go for this and the men go for that, right?
Yep.
And the idea that you're missing the biggest story, and not just Caitlin Clark in Iowa, but Angel Reese and that incredible LSU team, and South Carolina is probably going to send everybody home crying, and the talent that you wouldn't want to milk money off that, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I wonder if there's some like legality to it. like with the organization or, you know, something on that.
Whether there is a barrier to gamble or not, the idea that you've got 40 screens going and you couldn't squeeze one for NCAA women's tournament.
Especially if they're running reruns of something else, like that TV isn't marked for.
Right.
I can't believe that.
I can, in a way. Because this is what I'm talking about with the institutions not being able to see, right?
Mm-hmm.
The obvious. Because what's always worked will always work. Put gambling, and this is the irony here, I apologize, Christianity, church, Hinduism, right? Media. How many people, government, education, we just keep piling into the pot. They just keep thinking we're just going to right the ship by doing it the way we've always done it. It's a pretty healthy list.
Yeah.
And there will be some people who go, Brian, our faith isn't negotiable. I'm not talking about your faith. Not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're just talking about.
Because your faith doesn't.
Look at them as businesses.
Yeah, your faith is different than that group's faith. It's different than that group's faith. But you're all getting hit the same way.
Yeah, you're. Industry, your business industry is not as successful as it once was.
Because Hinduism isn't the same belief as Christianity, isn't the same belief as Islam or Buddhism, but you're all suffering the same numbers.
That's right. It's like all the restaurants on Restaurant Row all sinking at the same time.
Yep.
One's selling kebabs, one's chicken, one's burgers, but they're all reduced. What's happening there?
Because, they're all thinking it's all going to go back to the way it used to be. Just hold it out. I think that works for Iowa last night, that game. I don't think it works for organized religion. We'll take one last break. Nick's got your forecast. We'll come back next to our last winner for the Heinkels.
We have three total.
All right. We don't even need to take a break, do we, or do we?
No, we don't need
to. Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, let me go ahead and I'll draw this while you're
waiting. Yeah, we'll do that, and then I'll preview tomorrow's show. Wednesday, we'll check in literally with Clay from the Decatur Park District. A lot going on for them. We'll also be visiting with the folks from Millikan University back from break. Looking forward to that. Tanya, always a good stop in and visit. I got a couple of health stories I want to run by her, and it'll be interesting to see. That's another one of these institutions you could put in this pile of like wanting to do things the way we've always done.
That absolutely. The healthcare has got to get sorted out.
So honest to God, I don't mean any bad will in this conversation. No. I think people take it personally.
Yeah, you weren't picking on anything in particular. You're just like I said, you're just talking about the engagement level of what it was, not who they are.
And I'll tell you another thing, too, that people – and I don't know why this is a struggle for anyone. I really don't. But the world is getting more brown and black. And you can sit there and tie however much you want to tie into all these conversations about accepting change or whatever. There are people that just turn an eye to what is factual out of whatever defense mechanism they have or whatever fears they have about whatever. It is amazing to me that people can be in denial just about stuff that we know.
Right.
Fact. Not opinion, not anything else, just fact. The economy is going to remain global. Fact, right? And so you get into the politics of this and people, and even the religion of this and people selling you this thing that even the whole idea of make America great again means go back. Not going to happen.
It's all being rewritten right now because the connectivity and the technology and the globalization of everything.
Yes.
It's all starting over.
And it's not a plot. It's the natural evolution of life as we know it on this planet. And the good news is a whole lot of good could be done under that umbrella, right? A whole lot of success, a whole lot of potential and careers and excitement, and the opposite.
Exactly right. With the good and the bad.
But if you're going to keep score, you got to understand the rules of the game.
Right. I'm sneaking this in. Patrick, you won. Congratulations.
Patrick, won what? Right. What are we giving away today?
Today, it is mild Polish.
Mild Polish. All right. That's fantastic. Heinkel's countdown to opening day. Get up to nowdecatur.com, sign up, and we'll have two more winners.
Two more chances.
All right. A lot of fun. Hey, that's it for us. If you're missing the show today, podcast driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group. You can get them anywhere you get your podcast, including nowdecatur.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay dry. Have a great day.
WSOY Decatur and W277DB Decatur. WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. State Treasurer Michael Frericks has launched this year's Cream of the Crop photo contest. Kids 8 to 18 can capture scenes of agriculture in the state through their lenses and submit them by June 14th. There are three age categories. Scholarships of $250, $500, and $1,000 are up for grabs. The treasurer's office is accepting electronic submissions through the contest website. Kids can submit two photos. Winning entries will be featured in Ag Invest marketing materials and next year's Cream of the Crop calendar and showcased at the Illinois State Fair. More info at nowdecatur.com. March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. The State Health Department is emphasizing the importance of regular screenings. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the U.S. IDPH is stressing the significance of early detection.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.